Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time of war and a time of peace.
I love those eight verses. There's about 8 times 10 sermons in those 8 verses. But I'm not going to speak specifically about them tonight. Today being the first day of daylight savings time, that made me start thinking about time. Maybe you thought about it this morning when you rolled over and slapped that alarm clock and thought, that's too early. Time. Several years ago, a band called Chicago had a song out. They said, does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? And I guess it depends on what you think will happen with time. If you're worldly, thinking that this is all that there is, and oh, it's the old expression, when you die all over, you're dead like a rover, then you probably don't really care about time. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 7 through 8, the preacher writes there, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Does anybody really know what time it is? And do we care? 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul pens these words. He's trying to explain to the people in Corinth that they need to have hope, and where their hope lies. And he says these words, or pens these words in chapter 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. One translation says miserable. If that's all there is, if you're young and life seems to stretch out almost forever in front of you, then you really don't worry too much about time. We've got plenty of time. I'll work on that later. I'll figure that out later. Only when you get to be my age do you think that we've got this backwards. Jack, I think they ought to let us retire from 20 to 40 and then go to work from 40 to 60. Doesn't work that way, though. In Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16, then he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll store all my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Jesus goes on to say, that very night he's going to die. Time for him is going to run out. The reality is that we know there's a time coming when every one of us will care about time if we don't now, but we don't know when it is. There is that time coming. We each face it. We will each deal with it. They used to say that there are only two things in life that are absolutely certain. One is death, and the other is that you pay taxes. And I guess if you're poor enough, you don't have to pay taxes. But it's coming. Hebrews chapter 9, the writer says it's in verse 27, it's appointed for men to die once, and after that, the judgment. I like this story about the little boy who came in and he said, Mama, why does Grandma sit in her rocking chair all day long? All she does is sit in her rocking chair and read her Bible. And Mama said, well, that's important to her, and she's doing what she should be doing. And the little boy came in later. He says, I figured it out. Grandma's cramming for finals. We know it's coming. We know it do. It does. We know it will. It's been said that there are no atheists in foxholes. because that's where we come to face with the reality that our time will run out. None of us like to think about that, but there is a limit to the time that we have here on this earth. I think about that more as my knees get harder and harder to move. I keep thinking maybe I'm not so worried about that limit coming. There's also a limit to God's patience. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 30, the writer says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Just as surely as God raised Jesus from the dead, we are going to face death here on this earth just like he did. Time will get away from us. Time will run out. And we don't like to think about that. Does anyone really know what time it is? We like to know for sure what's going on. I've told you before about one of the few times I got myself tanned good was my brother and I knew my dad was coming home. And we knew he had given us certain tasks to do and things we had to accomplish. We understood all that. We got it. We knew it. There was no doubt, no question about it. He was coming home. But we had time to play for a little longer. And lo and behold, we ran out of time. Time. Does anyone really know what time it is? Well, the answer to that is no, we don't know. Last night, I had our annual worry about the springtime. Fall, I don't worry about it. I get to sleep an extra hour, so I'm not worried about that. But in the springtime, we go through this worry every single year. Leon, did you set the clocks? No, not yet. We're not ready to go to bed yet. Leon, we're getting ready for bed. Have you set the clocks? Did you set them back? Well, don't worry about it. The phone, which is our primary alarm clock, it sets itself automatically. It'll do that right. It'll be okay. But 3:15 this morning, guess who was rolling over in bed, picking up his phone, saying, "Did it change?" You don't have to raise your hand, but I know some of y'all did too. Because we don't trust it. You see, even when we know it's going to happen, we don't know when. We know that Jesus is coming back. We know that he's prepared a place for us, but we don't know when. I had this conversation this last week with somebody who once again wanted to tell me about this the radio preacher who has studied and he knows when the end of time is coming, and we're in end times, and we all of these signs, and this is coming past just like the Bible said. And I had to say, you're misreading the Bible and misapplying what it says, because we don't know. We won't have any warning. We don't have any indications that tell us, get ready because he's coming. Oh yeah, this preacher said, ask this preacher to explain Mark 13, 31 through 33, where Jesus, the Son of God, said these words, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Jesus said, the angels don't know when I'm coming back. I don't know when I'm coming back. When somebody tells you they know that the end times are here and the Lord is coming back, you better step back from them, because they might have other bad habits too. Jesus says, I don't know when it's coming. Verse 33, he goes on to say, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you don't know when the time is." Does anybody really know what time it is? No, we don't. Cher, several years ago, had a song, "If I Could Turn Back Time." And the idea of the song was, if I could just turn back time, there's all kinds of things I'd do different. I would have different relationships with people. I would say something in this case. I would not say something in this case. The whole thing was, if we could turn back time. But the reality is, we can't do it. We just can't turn back time. There are some things in my life I wish I could turn back and take back. I have managed on several occasions to open mouth A, insert feet B and C, and chew vigorously. And you probably have too, if you've been around people at all. There are things we wish we could just turn back time just a little bit and change that. Or say that. Or spend a little more time doing what we wish we had done. The reality is we can't turn back time. We have to live with the consequences of our past. We have to remember those things and hopefully learn from them and do something different the next time. The only thing we can affect, the only thing we can change is our future. The only thing we can have any impact on at all is our future. We can't change the past. We can't even do much about the present. The future is our only hope. And the problem is that one of the dangers we face is we spend so much time looking back and saying, I wish I had done this. I regret saying that. I would love to change that. That we forget to look forward and see what's in front of us. I like movies. Like a lot of different kinds of movies. There's always a lesson somewhere in a movie, and one of them that I re-watched again for I don't know how many times the other day, because sometimes it seems like there's nothing on TV but a movie I've already seen, but I watched Twister again. It's kind of a fun movie. If you haven't seen it, it's interesting. And there's a scene in that movie where the main male lead is saying to the female lead, and she's frustrated and she's focused on doing this research and focused on finding a solution to tornadoes and focused on all of this stuff because her daddy died in a tornado and it really has affected her whole life. And they're standing in the rain and he's got a hold of her shoulders and he's shaking her gently and he's saying, look at what's in front of you. That's in the past. Look at what's in front of you. And she says, like what? He says, me. All these years is the implication. I've been standing here in front of you, your future. Look at me. I have a friend who went through a horrible childhood. Difficult childhood. Challenging, not economically his family had what they needed, but in terms of relationship with his parents, because he had an older brother who died early when my friend was just a little boy. And the parents were so focused on this horrible, just horrific loss of a child. I can't imagine that pain. I can't imagine that hurt. That's one of the things that I think about sometimes when I think about as we're preparing for communion and remembering Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus gave up so much, but God gave up his son. But his parents were so focused on the loss of the child that was his older brother that they just kind of pushed him off to the side, didn't have time with him. And his life was very difficult. Because of that, based on that, there were a lot of things. It wasn't just neglect. There were a lot of things. But they all came about because his parents couldn't look at what was in front of them. They couldn't look to the future. They couldn't say, here's what we're blessed with. It's been a tough year. It's been a challenging year. There are a lot of things I would like to change. I'd like to turn back time and go back to about a year and a half ago and get into a chemistry lab somewhere and invent some kind of a filter that would filter out this coronavirus and let it never cross our borders. I would like to find a way to have the vaccines come out a year before they did. It's been a tough, hard, difficult, challenging year. As I told you this morning, we've been through tougher years. Oh, I know it's hard to remember them because the mind tends to shrug off bad experiences. But we've had, individually and as a nation, we've had tough years. We can come through this. We came through them. We'll come through this. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, we can't turn back time and go defeat the coronavirus before it hit. We can't turn back time and change decisions that were made that affected our lives. We can't go back and change what's in the past, but we can look to the future and we can say, this is what we're going to do going forward. Okay, I can't do that. Here's what I can do going forward. I can start something. I can do something positive. When I started law school, I thought I was going to be the old geezer in the law school. I was in my late 30s. Might have been 40, I don't remember. Mind tends to shrug off long experiences. But I thought I was going to be the old guy in part-time law school. You know, the guy sitting next to me our first night of class turned around and introduced himself to me. I introduced myself to him, told him I was an engineer, what I was doing, my background, why I was there. I said, what do you do? He says, I'm an orthodontist. He said, I've been practicing for about 45 years now. And I said, well, that begs the question. He grinned and he said, yeah. He said, I think I'm the oldest in the class. I'm 73 years old. 73 years old, he's starting law school. I said, why? He said, I always wanted to. I said, it's going to take you 4 years part-time to go through law school while you work as an orthodontist. He says, yeah. He said, 4 years from now, I'm going to be 77. I can be 77 without a law degree or 77 with a law degree. And there's a man who's looking to the future. I talked to him about 8 years ago was the last time I saw him. He had just signed a 12-year contract with a cruise ship to be their lawyer and go on cruises for the next 12 years. Look to the future. He can't do anything about the past. I said, why didn't you go to law school 20 years ago? He says, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. I didn't. The reality is, what am I doing today? If I could turn back time, I'd change things. If I knew what time it was, I might do things different. But the reality is, all I can do about is the future. We can keep looking back, and it affects our ability to do things. Sometimes we look back and we say, well, my background is such that I won't be able to do that. The most heartbreaking thing I've ever had happen, and it was before I was preaching full-time, but I was trying to preach part-time when I could, and we'd go out and we'd go on campaigns, and we'd knock on doors, and we'd teach people. I've been involved in some aspect of the Lord's work most of my life. The most heartbreaking thing that I've ever had happen is to be sitting with a man and teaching him about the plan of salvation and telling him, you know, that there is, the Bible is God's word and who God is and who Jesus is and that there is a heaven and God wants us to go to heaven. And here's the plan. We turned to the scriptures and showed him the plan to go to heaven. And we got all through with this study. And he looked at me and he said, I believe that. I believe it. And I see that's the steps to go to heaven. And he started crying. He said, I can't do it. I just can't. I said, why not? What's keeping you from obeying the gospel? Becoming a Christian, a child of God? He says, I can't. He said, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what's in my history. You don't understand how bad a person I have been. And what horrible, awful things I've done. And I can't come to God now. Broke my heart. I studied with him for another several weeks and he finally said, just leave me alone. I don't deserve to go to heaven. And I tried to say to him, and we turned in the scriptures about those people who crucified Jesus, who spat on the Son of God, who whipped him, who stood by and cheered while Jesus was hung on that cross. I said, how much worse could it be than that you killed the Son of God, knowing, with him standing here telling you who he is, with you reading the prophets and knowing who he is, and Jesus forgave those people. He forgave those people. And if he forgave them, he can forgive me. If he forgave them from whatever was in their background, he can forgive me and he can forgive you. We've got to stop looking back and saying, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Do you really know what time it is? It's time to commit your life to God. It's time to say, I'm going to quit looking back and I'm going to look forward. I hope you're living your life so that it really doesn't matter when the Lord comes back. We don't know when he's coming back, and if we're living our lives the way he wants us to, it won't matter. Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the end of Ecclesiastes, the preacher is coming to his conclusion. He says in verse 9, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Listen to the wise people, he says. Listen to the knowledge of those who know and can teach you. Verse 12, and further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and of much study is worrisome to the flesh. We can study. We can read books. They're always going to come out. They're going to keep coming out. But the key is verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. That's what counts. That's what matters. No one knows when the Lord will return. Do you know what time it is? As Chicago said, does it really matter? Does anyone really care? Well, yeah, I care. I don't know what time it is. I know that time is continuing. I know that it's going forward. I know that the time is approaching when Jesus is coming back. I know he's coming back. And I know I need to be redeeming the time, using the time that God gives me in his service. Are you focused on serving God? Are you redeeming the time? I hope that you are. I pray that you are. If you're not, I encourage you to change whatever you need to change in your life so that you are redeeming the time. So when somebody asks you, do you know what time it is, you can look them square in the eye and say, it doesn't matter. I'm doing the best I can do to serve my Lord. And I know he's coming back to take me home. If you're not certain of that, make what changes you need to. If you need to sit down and open the scriptures, don't take my word for it. We'll open the scriptures and look in there and let you read it. We'll figure out together what you need to do to go to heaven. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, please respond. Let's stand and sing and respond to the Lord's call.